in your phone, and if you have a written part, Bible in your hand, pray that you will open up to the letter that John wrote in the New Testament. It'd be the fourth letter in the way man has sequenced it, to the Gospel of John. Last week we kind of introduced this as being a good news from John, that he wrote these things, shared these things, expressed these things, was witness and testified about these things, so that people may believe. And again, belief is not a statement. Belief is an action. When you say you believe in something, if it doesn't have any effect on who you are, then why believe? So that's one of the things that we've got to ask ourselves as John, as we enter this long series. It's going to be a great series. We entitled this series, Jesus, God's Love in Action. And the reason why we need to look at Jesus to learn how to love is because He's the ultimate love. He's the perfect love. And you're going to hear Jesus command later on in John's writing that we need, as disciples, to love like He loved. Now, how many would agree with me that we too many times love the way we want to? Anybody agree with that? Isn't that kind of more of what we set to attend? We choose who we're going to love more than others. We define love so it will stay comfortable within me. Those who are hard to love, I use as excuses of not spending time with them or caring about them. Okay, so all of us have fallen short of the glory of God in that. So as we admit that as disciples, we've got to look at John to let John say what he said and not enter in and say this. I think John was intending to say this. Because what we'll do is we'll run into our own interpretation of what John said instead of just letting John say and witness to us the truth. And so we need to look at that, and that's what we mold our life around. Because we're going to pick and choose. We're going to like and dislike and do all. When Jesus commands us as people who have made a commitment to Him to love Him, you're going to hear Him say, okay, if you love me, obey my commands. Now, there's a new command I give you. Love each other. And you're kind of like, oh, wow, that's nothing new. No, love like I have loved you. Are you willing to go there for each other? Are you willing to go there to everybody out there in our community? John writes these things so that we would believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God. Because that's who we will give an account to for our motives, our actions, our words, our thoughts. And praise God, as we learned a few weeks back, that as long as we approach Jesus with a heart that wants to serve Him and will make every effort to live as Jesus lived, we can receive grace, and we have received grace, and we can receive mercy, and we have received mercy. And so because of that, and because grace is so undeserving, there's nothing I can do to win my salvation, earn my salvation. The thing that I need to do is to respond to my salvation. You know how it is when somebody does something, or you do something good for somebody, and they don't say thank you. Have you ever been there? And then it starts to wear on you, right? After a while, you start thinking, I wonder if I'll keep doing this because it seems like they're not very thankful. God's grace and mercy does not work that way. God does not respond with grace and mercy by what we give Him. He gives it because we need it. And He's looking at a response from us in relationship to Him. Because you and I need grace and mercy. Without it, we are totally lost. And so we need to be obedient. That's why we're going to have to probably... I mean, this is the hardest thing for me. I can't listen to what my grandpa used to say. I can't listen to what my mom said. I can't listen to what the church says. I got to listen to what Jesus says. And realize that truth only comes from Him. So when mankind falters with it, the only messenger that we're following is the Messiah. And John said, I have wrote these things so that you may believe that Jesus is the Son of God. So we're going to start out with, actually I'm going to kind of jump over the first 18 verses of chapter 1. We're going to visit those around the holidays because it talks about the Word becoming flesh, Jesus' birth. Okay? So we'll go back to where it all began a little later, if the Lord's will, in December. But I want to start picking up with, if you would follow along with me, in verse, I believe, 6 of John 1. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. Verse 15. John testifies concerning him. He cries out, saying, this was he of whom I said, he who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me. From the fullness of his what? Grace. We all have received one blessing after another. For the law was given to us through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but God the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known. Now, this was John's testimony when the Jews of Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to ask him who he was. He did not fail to confess, but confessed freely, I am not the Christ. We're going to sing a song. that a lot of us know. It's called Days of Elijah. And I want you to hear the words of this song and the message of this song, because we're going to talk about John talking about John. Because John the Revelator talks about John the Baptist here in these passages. So let's sing this song. Let's, if you can, just if you feel up to it, let's stand and sing this song together.
These are the days of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord. And these are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored. And though these are days of great trials, of famine and darkness and sword, still we are the voice in the desert, crying, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Now behold, he comes, as he riding on the clouds, and shining like the sun.
You, I would stand the rest of the sermon after singing something like that. Ah, the beloved son, the beloved disciple. John, the writer here, is about to tell us about John, the forerunner. And that's who I want to introduce you as we introduce this series of John introducing us to God's love in action. Now, it's going to be a while as we go through the chapters. We're going to summarize. We're going to watch Jesus' life. And really, a true disciple is a learner, is an apprentice, is a follower of Jesus. That means that you're going to dive into looking at Jesus' life. You're going to look at his attitude. You're going to look at his motives. And then you're going to ask God for the power of the Holy Spirit to allow your soul and your spirit to adopt the same spirit of Jesus, so that we can give a witness and a testimony. And I'll explain that in just a few minutes of how we go about doing that together. I think when it comes to preaching about loving God, I don't have a whole lot of people argue with that. Now, the world struggles with that because they have their own definition of how you love God or what love is, and that's the way God loves, and that's the way God loves me. But we got to let Jesus show us the love of God. We got to hear what he's teaching. Could you ever catch yourself having a problem with what Jesus said? Anybody ever have a problem with Jesus? What, periodically? I do. It's truth. Sometimes I don't like truth. It depends on what we say is truth. So we got to make sure truth is truth. Because truth is only found in Jesus' teaching, his life, his motive, his purpose. And if I'm going to follow that and be a true disciple of that, then I set my tone. That's why for the last almost 11 years, I pray if any seed that's been planted, now I don't know where it's gone with growth, but if any seed that has been planted by anybody that stands up here and presents a message, or if I present a message, is that we're not about a people who come and sit. We're about a movement of God changing our life so that we can be a witness and testify that Jesus has a greater life for me to live than what the world offers, because the world's going to destroy you. And you need to be ready. You need to be ready like our brother Jim Ballantyne was ready. Because the next face, he's going to rest in Jesus. But the next face he sees will be his Lord. Again and again I repeat, and because some people are new here, you'll get used to these phrases, but it'll sink in. A lot of us want Jesus as our Savior because we believe in churches. We need saved. But we really struggle with making Him Lord, where He becomes my authority. He gets to tell me the motive and the purpose and the attitude I should have. He gets to explain to me what love is. And if it's loving like he loves, I fall short. I need grace. I need mercy. But when he gives it, we respond to that and continue to grow. So, John writes about John the Baptist in how he proclaimed right at Jesus' beginning of this journey to the cross. Now, if you want to be a disciple of Jesus that will follow him all the way to your own death, because Jesus does say, if you're going to be a disciple of mine, you got to learn to deny yourself, die to yourself, take up and carry your own cross, and do it daily. And Jesus is going to show us the way. And we need to be open to that. And John the Baptist gets us ready for that. Because John, again, don't mistake, John the Baptist is not the writer of the letter. The writer of the letter is the Apostle John telling us about the message of John the Baptist. And really, and for some, and I'm not trying to be sarcastic here, Baptist isn't his last name. It's just John. But it just describes what he practiced. He got known as the baptizer. He baptized people. People would come to him, hear a message, he would baptize them. And When the Messiah's coming, he's coming. You follow him. Now let's watch this conversation of who John says who he is. Now remember, there's two links to Jesus that John the Apostle did not have, even though John felt well loved by Jesus, even that John the Apostle, the writer of the letter, was the one that stood at the cross with Jesus' mother, while the other were in the upper room fearful of what would happen to them. There's a couple of links. Both Jesus' birth and John the Baptizer's birth was announced by the angel Gabriel. That's a link. Plus, so there's a spiritual one. There's a physical one. John the Baptizer and Jesus were cousins. I believe it would be second cousin, wouldn't it? Because I think John's mother Elizabeth and Jesus' mother Mary were cousins. Okay, is that right? So it'd be a second cousin. I don't think that has anything to do with it, but there is some kind of knowledge of each other. I don't know. I don't know if their families spent time with each other a lot, getting to know. But John the Baptist knew Jesus, and he knew that he was the Messiah, and he starts teaching people, and people came out in the wilderness. Now look at this dude. This is my kind of dude. This is my kind of preacher. He is the Duck Dynasty of biblical times. He is the Phil Robinson of biblical times. And if you don't know who Phil Robinson is, he's an elder at the Church of Christ at White's Ferry Road in, is it Lafayette? No. Where's it at in Louisiana? Oh, West Monroe. Yeah, Louisiana. All you do is just Google it up. It's really funny. Even though the elders have come a long way, none of their elders have suit and ties on, but they all have either a dress shirt or you know, sometimes you get the ones that are business guys that don't wear the tie. Then you got golf shirt, and you keep scrolling down, and then Phil, full camo, scruggly old beard. And he is being asked to go around to a lot of churches. He believes the show of Duck Dynasty has elevated his platform to reach more people. Now, he didn't start just because he was a star and the founder of Duck Dynasty. He is always a forerunner for Jesus. And I don't know about you. Anybody want to be a forerunner? You know, what is a forerunner? Well, a forerunner, by definition, is a person who has a message that precedes the coming of the message of Jesus or another messenger. But in this part, it's the message of Jesus. What did John say he did? I'm a voice that cries in the wilderness, make straight the way for the Lord. That was his message. He's forerunning for Jesus. He is preceding the coming of the Messiah. And when Jesus comes on the scene to start his ministry that will lead people to dying to themselves, getting sins buried and washed away, and then how do you live a new life? Well, it's led by the Spirit. But if we rewind all the way back to here and all the way back to the messenger, or the message. You know what has to precede the fellowship of Jesus? Repent. Change your mind about sin. Change your mind about life. Who owns you? Who's your creator? Who's your Lord? Who's your Savior? Because if you believe and come to a belief that it's got to be more than this, I don't want us to just die and just be dead. I believe we die and we live. And it depends on who we want to live with, depends on who we follow. So, where do you want to spend eternity? Who do you want to spend eternity with? See, your belief in the Messiah has come alive, is what John said. See, back in the Old Testament, it was always talking about what was going to happen. Isaiah prophesied about the Messiah coming, prophesied what would happen to the Messiah, but the Messiah didn't come, but this is what's going to happen when he does. And really, John is just saying, it's now. Your belief that a Messiah is coming has been fulfilled. He's came. He's come into this world. Now, repent. Follow him. And he prepares people with baptism. Forerunner is a witness that testifies. Now, let's define witness. It seems to scare our heritage to say, I'm a witness. I don't know why. You say, well, I didn't actually see Jesus physically. Remember Thomas? A couple weeks ago, we dealt with Thomas. I'm not going to believe unless I actually get to touch. Then when Jesus shows up and says, come here, then touch me. Stick your hand right here. Stop doubting and believe. A witness is someone who has evidence or proof. A testimony is that evidence or proof provided. Let's read on. John 1:21. You won't have the words up here, so you're definitely going to have to use them in your seat. They asked him, this is John the Baptist, who are you? Are you Elijah? He said, I am not. Are you the prophet? He said, no. Finally, they said, who are you? Give us an answer to take back to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself? John replied, now get this. If somebody asks you, what do you say about yourself? That's what was the question here. What do you say about who you are? Here's John's reply. John replied in the words of Isaiah the prophet, I am the voice of the one calling in the desert, make straight the way for the Lord. Now some Pharisees who had been sent questioned him, why then do you baptize if you are not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet? Well, I baptize with water, John replied, but among you stands one you do not know. He is the one who comes after me, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. This all happened at Bethany on the other side of the Jordan where John was baptizing. The next day, John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, look! Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I meant when I said, a man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me. I myself is not, did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel. Then John gave this testimony. I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him, and I would not have known him except that the one who sent me to baptize with water told me. The man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain on is he who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. I have seen and I testify that this is the Son of God. Now, what's that mean for us? We could just say, oh, okay, good for John. Fine lesson. Now I know his last name's not Baptist. What do we do with this? Look at John's testimony. When he's asked, are you the prophet? What's he saying? No. When he says, are you the Messiah? Asks, are you the Messiah? What's he say? No. I'm just a voice. What spiritual characteristic of God would you say John had here? He had a lot of people coming out to him. I don't know if you talk to many preachers, but when a lot of people come, well, they must be coming for me. True messenger says, I got a message. Repent. Change your life. Change your mind. Change who you're following. I'm just a voice out in the wilderness trying to make straight the way for the Lord. Now catch this. What was the spiritual attribute? What would you say? Anybody? I'll give you time. Let me throw one out at you. How about humility? I'm not the prophet. I'm not the Messiah. Just a messenger. You see humility? Make straight the way for the Lord. You know what the forerunner for people to receive Jesus? Humility. Church, we got to quit talking about the church first. And start bragging about Jesus. We too often try to tell people what to do instead of share what He has done for me. We've got to change that. If we're telling people they have to do something, just share Jesus. Let the Word. Because what does Jesus baptize with? The Holy Spirit. What's the Holy Spirit going to teach people? From this day forward, when you die to yourself, when you have your sins washed away, and you're coming out a new life, the Holy Spirit is the one that takes over. I can't tell people to go to the cross, get baptized, live a new life, that I can share with them what has happened to me when I deny myself, when I feel the forgiveness and the refreshment of Jesus, and what is happening to me in living a new life. All of us as baptized believers in this room should be able to share something that God has done and Jesus' love has done to change you. That's your testimony. That's evidence. And you can be a witness of the power of God. I want you to just hear these words, and then if you would, take your communion, because we're going to have this time of remembrance with each other. And even while I'm reading this, you can think about Jesus. We're going to sing a song, "All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name." And then we're going to meditate for a little, just for a short moment. And we're going to pray to God that as we meet the forerunner, we'll become like the forerunner that is like Jesus Christ. Listen to these words. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from His love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility. Consider others better than yourself. Each of you should look not only to your own interest, but also to the interest of others. Your attitude, please listen to this. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in an appearance as a man. And he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven, and get to this, where else? On earth. When's the last time have you spent time on your knees or laying flat, face down, because you are so filled with humility that you feel like the only way to approach God through Jesus Christ is to lower yourself so that He can lift you up? He'll show you your purpose. He'll give you His worth. In every tongue, what? Confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Rick Ashley says often in his messages, he says, the question is not if I'll kneel before God. It's when. When? Will it be too late? But Jesus practiced humility. To come down to this earth, in this chaos, and this yuck, and have people mock him, spit at him, rip out, Isaiah said, his facial hair, and yes, if anybody wants to know if Jesus had a beard, that proves it. He ripped this out of his facial hair. He was flogged, his skin on his back was ripped wide open, cut deeply. And he was nailed on the cross. And his feet was nailed there. And the blood's dripping and flowing all the way down and hitting the ground. For you. Why wouldn't we not want to obey? So take this time to remember, David's going to lead us in, oh, hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate and fall.